love the energy that was happening here in the front from our high schoolers. Most of those students just came back from camp this last week, and they're on fire. And if that doesn't get you excited, then maybe you should have some more caffeine before you come in. I just love that they're helping to lead the way for us as we seek to be people who love and live like Jesus. Our students are doing that, and that's really encouraging that that's part of our church. So just pumped this morning for that. My name's Crystal. I'm one of the pastors on staff here if I haven't met you yet. Grateful to be back last week. I'm grateful for the team that led us and Pastor D.S. Brett Rickey so that our family could get away for a little break. But happy to be back. We are looking at one of the most well-known psalms today. This is a psalm that maybe you grew up hearing or even seeing. Some people that don't know anything about scripture, this psalm is familiar to them. It's Psalm 23. And maybe you've had this psalm memorized as a child, maybe in a different translation than the one we'll use today. I had the honor of reading this to my grandmother in her last days just a few months ago. It's one of those psalms that is a poem that people often pull back when they are going through a hard time. They recall it. It's one of those anchor passages that really sticks with us, and it's comforting. But there's actually more there. There's more to it. Psalm 23 actually gives us a pattern for how we should live. It's a discipleship framework. And the psalm uses shepherd imagery. And if you look through all of Scripture, you will find shepherd imagery everywhere, describing God as someone who cares and guides and leads those in his flock. And I want to give you a little bit of a warning. Oftentimes, sermons will have like a ramp up, right? We'll like start out kind of slow and then we get to it. And I just want to warn you that Psalm 23 does not afford for that. Psalm 23 starts real strong right out of the gate. So there is no ramp up this morning, okay? So we're going to lock in together right out of the gate. It gets going really strong. So I'm going to read it for us. It'll be on the screen as well. You can follow along in your Bible, but I'm going to have you stand if you are able for the reading of God's word. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, again, we're grateful to be here in your presence. We recognize that each one of us are bringing our own experiences and life situations this morning as we seek to discover what you have to say to us. Would you help us to lean in? If it's familiar, would you help us not to just put it aside, thinking that, oh, we know this. And if it's new, would you help us again to just be tender and sensitive to the Spirit this morning? It's in your name we pray, amen. Go ahead and take a seat. We're going to unpack this scripture this morning, verse by verse, together. We're just going to walk it verse by verse, dig in together. And as we've done with all of these psalms in this series, we are doing this asking questions, using our imaginations, and viewing this scripture through the lens of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, who says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So starting in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So here we are, right out of the gate, eight words, that pack a punch. We're just going to take the first five. The Lord is my shepherd. If we say that the Lord is my shepherd, we are saying the Lord is the one leading me. The Lord is my guide. The Lord is in charge. If we say that the Lord is my shepherd, that means we are then saying, I am not the one in control. If we say I am not the one in control, the Lord is, that means that we are giving the Lord the authority to lead us. Because it's one thing to say the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord guides some people. The Lord leads some people. You are capable of leading, but it's another thing to say, you are my shepherd. I am allowing you to lead me. And what this means really is surrender. You know, our tendency in this scripture is to look ahead and to look, jump ahead and say, I lack nothing. Or to jump ahead to the line that says, he leads me beside quiet waters. But the reality is, we can't get there until we first sit here. We cannot experience those things until we confess this part here. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He has authority in my life, and I submit and surrender to the Lord and his way, not mine. The Lord is our shepherd only when we allow him to lead and guide us. See, before a life without lack or a life that wants for nothing is a life of surrender. Surrender has to come first, because it's only when we've surrendered all of our wants, all of our desires, all of our plans, it's only when we've surrendered those to the Spirit and the shepherd, is that's when we lack nothing. We lack nothing after we have surrendered. It's only then that we can say, I want for nothing. I have all that I need found in you. I do not have to be in charge. Some of us, that's like a relief. And for others, that's a challenge. I do not have to be in charge. I actually don't have to try and figure this whole thing out on my own. My shepherd knows what he's doing. So to say the Lord is my shepherd, it's not a denial of our needs. We have needs, but what this is a declaration of dependence. I need you to be my shepherd, because I can't actually do this on my own. I can't do it. And the belief then that our shepherd actually knows what he's doing. It's verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, you might know this about animals, and it's true about sheep, is that the only time that they are going to be laying down and rest is when they are full, when they are content, when they have all that they need. That's when the sheep will lie down. So a sheep that's resting in green pastures and by quiet waters is a sheep with a shepherd that has provided all that they need. They lack nothing, because their shepherd has provided for them, and they fear nothing. So now they can rest. Sheep are utterly dependent upon their shepherd. They aren't out trying to lead themselves, right? They know that they can't make it on their own. It's not the wisest move. Some of us need to be more like sheep. We have been trying to be the ones in charge. Maybe not you. Maybe just me, thinking that I know best, thinking that I know exactly the right way I should go. And some of us, we need to let the shepherd lead us. And when we stop fighting that, when we stop fighting for control of that, and we stop striving for self-sufficiency, that's when we begin to find rest. You know how if you have kids or grandkids, or if you've just been around a kid and they are overtired, do you know how cranky they get? Like, it is beyond. And as a parent or somebody that's trying to help, you're like, I know you need a nap. And they're, I'm not tired. I do not need to take a nap. And you're like, yes, that's exactly what you need. Let me help you. Let me help you find the rest. And the shepherd is sometimes saying to us, look, I know what you need. You've been trying to do this on your own. You've been trying to be the one in control, leading yourself and trying to do all these things. And would you trust me? You just need to rest. Let me lead you. Maybe you haven't just been trying to be your own shepherd, but you've been trying to be other people's shepherd, thinking that you know exactly what they need. Well, if they just did this, this worked for me, so if they just did this, I really think I know best. Maybe if they just went about it this way, or things would be better, and you cannot be their shepherd. You need to stop trying to be in control. Stop trying to control others. You know, we can learn together. We can be shepherding, but we are not the shepherd. We are not the shepherd, the one that is in charge. And sometimes it's from a good place, right? We can shepherd one another, but we are not the shepherds. We need to take a breath. And when we allow ourselves to be led, when we allow other people to be led, we find then what our souls actually need. Verse 3, he refreshes my soul. Another way of saying this is he heals my soul. The Lord is our shepherd when we allow him to heal us. Do you know that we can resist this? We can resist healing. We can hold on so tightly to the wounds that life has given us. We can hold on so tightly to our own brokenness and carry them along with us as if it's a part of our identity and never allow God to fully heal us. And we've said it before here that God can only heal the real you. And that requires honesty. That requires surrender and a willingness to then be led and be healed. So this is God reintegrating and restoring all the broken bits of our lives, all the rough edges, all the pieces that might still be hurt and tender and wounded and bleeding. And he's bringing all those pieces back into union with himself. And healing might not look the way that you expect it to. It might look quite different than what you had hoped or thought it would look like, but it is possible. It's the sheep that somehow wandered off and got into a mess and got hurt and wounded, or it's the sheep that did it on its own, that got itself into the mess. And it finds comfort in the shepherd, returns to the shepherd who tends the wounds of the sheep. And then what happens is the sheep trusts the shepherd. When we return to our good shepherd and allow him to heal us, then wouldn't we continue to come back to that? We come back again and again trusting that there is healing that's possible. We continue to follow fully confident in our shepherd, fully confident in the healing that happens. So we follow the shepherd wherever the shepherd goes. God longs to heal you. God longs to fix the broken pieces of your life. God longs to put back together the broken bits, the places that you have found yourself to no fault of your own and are carrying wounds. He longs to heal those. And he longs to heal the places that are hurt because of things that you found yourself in, the things that maybe you wandered into, because a healed heart has room for growth. A healed heart has room to expand, and you have to allow yourself to be healed because God has so much more in store for you. Your story doesn't end where your woundedness begins. Your story actually can expand and grow, and the depth of your relationship with the shepherd can grow deeper and deeper still. And regardless of where we are at, because in a room like this and with people watching online, we are all at different spots in our journey. Some of us have things that need to be mended and healed, and some of us are in a season of healing and growth, and for others, we are on the other side of that. And we are experiencing what it looks like to live in a healed reality. But we're all on the same journey. We're all on the same path, even if we're on different places. And the psalmist reminds us that there is a path in which we are to go. David goes on to write this in the second part of verse 3. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The Lord is our shepherd. when we allow him to lead us along the right paths. There is a right path, and the shepherd can lead us along it. You know, sheep might try. Sheep might try to lead themselves, but they wander. They get distracted. We wander. We get distracted. There are a lot of distracting paths out there. There's the distraction of money. This looks good. This looks like it could really help me out. And before we know it, we're all consumed with money. It's what we have and what we get to keep, and it becomes an idol in our life. And everything is consumed with money. It can be the distraction of politics. Look over here. This maybe looks like the right path. There's even words that say God and Bible. But closer inspection and the path that looks nothing like the shepherd. It looks nothing like blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It looks nothing like blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It looks nothing like blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. But it's a distraction. It might be a distraction of self-improvement. Well, it's important to care for ourselves. There's even scripture that says to take care of our bodies, but it's a slippery slope. Because what happens is it becomes self-absorption that our culture loves to idolize. Everything becomes about me and what's best for me, and you don't look at anybody else. There are a lot of distracting paths out there. We need the shepherd to lead us down the right paths. And like sheep constantly looking to their shepherd, we need to be constantly looking to ours, constantly checking in. Is this the right path? Well, how do you know? Well, you line it up with scripture. You look at what Jesus did. What does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Look in Matthew 5. Does this line up with that? What about the greatest commandment? Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus say and do? Is the path that I'm on aligning with the way that Jesus led his life? The way that Jesus interacted with people that agreed with him, that didn't agree with him? And do you know that you can change your mind? Do you know that you could have been walking on a path, thinking it was the right path, and then realizing this is not the right path? This looks nothing like I thought it would, and maybe it started out that way. And maybe it started out that way, and then it deviated, and somewhere along the way, it got lost. You got lost. And you find yourself on a path that is looking nothing like the path that the Good Shepherd leads. And you can change your mind, and you can get off that path and get on the right path. At any time, you can change your mind. And thank goodness that our journey along the right path is not dependent upon our intelligence. It's not dependent upon our gumption or our production, but on surrender. Thank goodness that I am not my own shepherd. Thank goodness that we are not our own shepherds. You know, I think I could be a pretty decent shepherd for myself until crisis hit. Or something terrible happened, or something kind of surprised me and made me check in a spirit, I think I would then be a sheep that's wandering around, like bleeding its head off. Ah, panic, never mind, I don't want to be my own shepherd. I don't know what I'm doing. I need the good shepherd to lead me. This last week, our car was broken into. Our passenger window was bashed out, and they stole my wallet and my purse and some sentimental things that were in there from my grandmother. And if I was my own shepherd, my response might have been a little different. And in the past, my response would have been a little different. But I am not my own shepherd, and I did not feel angry in the moment. I just felt sad. I felt sad that somebody would feel the need to do that. That whatever's going on in this person's life would cause them to do this, to steal, to violate someone else. And I just felt sad. I felt sad for the state of these people and of the world. And I found myself praying for them. It's annoying. It's frustrating. It's not fun. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that I had a choice in which to choose how I responded. But if I was leading myself, if I was my own shepherd, I guarantee you I would have chosen anger. I would have chosen a response that demanded justice that maybe was a little bit harsh. And I'm not saying that I get this right all the time. But the more that we surrender to the Good Shepherd, the more that we surrender to the right path, the easier it becomes. The easier it becomes to surrender, and it becomes easier to then walk in that path. And do you know that it is so much easier to walk in this world when we are not angry? It is so much easier when we decide to walk in this world and choose to not be offended, to choose to not be grumpy. It is so much easier to engage with our world. And we need our Good Shepherd to lead us on that path, because I can't do it on my own. We need our Good Shepherd to lead us through these annoying and frustrating things, but also the harder and more difficult things that come. David goes on to say this: "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The Lord is our shepherd when we trust him in difficult times. A few weeks back, we talked about the wins and the those that will come, the life that comes, the even thos that happen, the even though loss will come, even though grief will well up, even though pain will come into our lives and we will face difficulties, when we are led by our Good Shepherd, we do not have to fear those times. We do not have to fear them. A life without lack is one that carries no fear of evil in these times. Church, there is no evil at work in our world today that is more powerful than God. There is nothing at work, seen or unseen, that is more powerful than the name of Jesus. And when we believe that, when we truly believe that there is nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus, when we truly believe that, we do not have to live in fear, even though the world is dominated by it. We do not have to live in it. Why? Because the shepherd knows more than we do. The shepherd sees far beyond what you and I can see. The shepherd is not afraid. The shepherd is not panicking. The shepherd is leading us, guiding us. The shepherd is the one who gives us rest. See, sheep who trust their shepherd, they don't stray in the dark valleys. When they come across the dark valley, they don't take off. Sheep who trust their shepherd just follow their shepherd more closely. They know the shepherd will not abandon them. So they get even closer. They won't risk being misled. They don't want to get caught in the dark. They don't want to get wounded. So they learn their shepherd's voice. They learn their shepherd's way of walking. They learn deeper and deeper still to trust. In Jeremiah 29:13, God says this: "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Jesus is God with us. And in John 10:14, Jesus says this: "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Do you know your shepherd? Do you know his voice? Have you picked up your Bible and uttered the words, "I just want to know you. I just want to know your voice. I want to know who you are. I want to know how you would respond to this situation. How would you interact with these people? How would you handle this?" Are you seeking after the shepherd with all your heart? For some, you've known the good shepherd since you were small. And maybe we tend to take that for granted. I know the shepherd. I've been following him my whole life. I know his voice. Some of us, this is brand new, and we're just starting out, and we have questions. Pick up your scripture. Who are you? I want to know your voice. When you know your shepherd intimately, then you can trust that he knows what you need. Even if you don't understand what's happening, even if you don't understand it at all. Continuing on, the second part of that scripture, that verse, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff, it represents both the strength of the good shepherd and the protective care of the good shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd when we find comfort in his care and in his direction. So the shepherd's rod, the straight kind of stick that he had, that was used as a club to kind of fend off animals that would try to attack the sheep. And then the staff or the rod that had like a crook on the end, that was used to bring the sheep back onto the path. Sometimes the shepherd could see danger ahead that the sheep could not see. And so the shepherd would have to gently bring the sheep back onto the path. We cannot always see the paths ahead. Most of the time, we cannot. And the shepherd leads us through them, guides us through him. Can we trust him? Can we trust the good shepherd to lead and guide us, even if it feels like we're being moved off of one path and on to another? Sometimes the shepherd has to pull us back. It's not because he's controlling. It's because he loves you. It's out of love. He sees far beyond what you can see. And he's guiding, protecting, and leading. Do we trust him? As a parent, all you want to do is protect and guide your kids, right? You want to keep them safe, which is a lot of work if you have a thrill seeker or a secondborn. It's a lot of work to keep them on path and to keep them safe and protected, and they fight it. They're gonna push back against it, but you know that you're not punishing them. You are loving them by keeping them safe. You're trying to care for them, and in the same way, God's rod and staff, they guide and protect us, pulling us away from danger, even if we don't see it, and placing boundaries in our lives, sometimes things we can't even see. I have three boys, and I had a 2.5-year-old when I had twin boys, and yes, I survived. Thank you. The twins were maybe two. I had ankle surgery, and I think Jack must have been at preschool, and somehow one of them got out the door. Thankfully, we lived on a cul-de-sac, and I had to go kind of hobbling out there running after them, and thankfully, they were fine, cul-de-sac again, but I was panicked, and my voice was raised, and I wasn't angry. I was scared. I was worried for their safety, and I was trying to protect them, but they don't always know that, right? That feels like you're mad or you're upset, but you're really just trying to keep them safe. The same thing goes with us. And this protection that God does with us, it's not just about keeping us safe from harm. It's not just about that. It's also about then leading us into spaces where we can experience the overflowing goodness and love for us, but also, it's not just for us, it's also for others around us. Psalm starts to wrap up here. In verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some would interpret this moment, this preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies, as a moment for gloating. Look, the enemies have to watch as the good shepherd provides for me because I did the right thing. And maybe there's some truth to that. Others might look at this and see a picture of God's goodness and provision at work, even among the things that are happening around them, among the reality of a threat, hardship, anxiety, maybe all of that represented in the enemies. And maybe that's true. There's truth to that as well. But in looking at this part through the lens of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we also see something else. The table in the presence of enemies is not a scene of dominance, but of radical kingdom hospitality. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. Matthew 5:43-45. You have heard it said that love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. In Christ, we share a table that proclaims God's radical kingdom, a kingdom of radical grace and mercy, so radical that even enemies are welcomed, invited, and extended grace. You can read more about that story in Luke 14. And some of you might be thinking, I don't have any enemies. I don't really have any enemies. So maybe a better way to say this is, who are you withholding love from? Who is hard for you to love? If we love our enemies, then we would never sit down to a nice meal and eat it while they sat in the corner, hungry. We would invite them to come and to enjoy what God had prepared and provided for us. This is what Jesus does for us when we are offered his bread and the cup of communion. And then he calls his sheep, his followers, to do the same. This is the opposite of what our world says to do. This is the opposite of our culture's stance on enemies. We're taught to protect ourselves, care only about ourselves, keep those at arm's distance. Maybe you judge them, withhold from them. But following in the steps of the Good Shepherd means that we are called to invite, to welcome, and to bless those that we find difficult to love, those that we find we might be withholding love from. It might feel weird. It might feel impossible at times. But when we truly believe that the Lord is my shepherd, it changes how we see the world. The shepherd has so provided for us. We have all that we need. We lack nothing. We have more than enough. And when we have all of our needs met by the Good Shepherd, when we have all that we need, we can extend that to other people. We will never lack, even our enemies. If I am cared for by the Good Shepherd, my cup is not just full, it overflows. When my oldest was learning this as a preschooler, he used to say, it overfloats. It overfloats with the goodness and love of the Good Shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd when the goodness and love of God pour out of my life onto those around me, onto others. What is pouring out of your life onto others? What is your first response when met with frustration or anger or disappointment? What's your first response? What is oozing out of you? Because what's happening in here is what ends up coming out here. And the Lord is our shepherd when there is evidence in our life that we are actually being led. When there is evidence that we're not being led by our own selves or by our own in our own natures, but by the Lord, because it's the goodness and love that's overflowing. This is what pours out. Maybe you think, I don't know. I don't know if I can love that person. This happened, and it makes loving them really, really difficult. I don't know if I can. Or maybe I can't be patient with them. My patience is out. I am done. I can't do it. I can't, if I did this, if I loved like this, wouldn't that just be saying that I agree with everything they're doing? I don't know if I can pour out that kind of love. I don't want to risk them thinking that I agree with everything. You will not lack in the goodness and love that's available to you because the Good Shepherd has called you to live this life. The Good Shepherd has called you to live a life that is overflowing with goodness and love, so you will not run out. You will not lack anything when it comes to this because he's called us to it. In a moment, we're going to move to a time of prayer and confession and reflection. But I'm going to read back through the Psalms slowly for us. It's not going to be on the screen. And I'm going to invite you to just listen as I say the words. In light of walking through this psalm, in light of what you're carrying this morning, in light of the things that you are struggling with, the people you might be struggling with, the circumstances that you're facing, and I'm just going to invite you to listen and ask yourself, what part is standing out to me? What part is a little bit of a challenge for me? What part do I know I cannot do unless I surrender to the Good Shepherd? What's the Spirit speaking to me about this morning? So I'm going to read it. If you want to close your eyes, you can. It's not going to be on the screen, but I'm just going to read it real slow for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He heals my soul. He guides me along the right paths. Sometimes we are distracted by a lot of other paths, but the Good Shepherd leads us along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I walk through pain, even though I walk through confusion, even though I walk through grief, even though I walk through some of the hardest moments of my life, I will fear no evil. I do not have to be afraid. I do not have to be afraid of what's going on around the world, what's going on in my own home or in my heart. Because you are with me, you will never abandon me. You will never leave me to do this on my own. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They fend off things that maybe I don't even see coming. And they keep me from heading down paths that I should not go down. I might not understand what's happening, but I trust you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Good Shepherd has provided all that you need. All the love and goodness that he has given you, we are asked to then pour out onto others. This is how we walk in the way of the Good Shepherd. This is the fruit of what it looks like to walk in the way of the Good Shepherd. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Surely your goodness and love is running after me, pursuing me, chasing me down, relentless because of your love. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's not just a someday thing. That is a reality that exists for us now. That we can dwell in God's presence day after day, regardless of what we face, regardless of what is coming, forever. The worship team is going to lead us through a few songs. And I'm going to invite you to spend some time in prayer. If you're able to come and use the altars, maybe today for you, it's about surrender. Maybe you've had some things that you've been holding on to that you need to let go of. Maybe it's things that are not good for you. habits, things that are really kind of putting a barrier in between you and God or you and others. Maybe you've just been holding on to some things and you've been afraid to let go of, but you know for all this to fall into place, you have to surrender to the Good Shepherd. So maybe that's for you today. Maybe you've been trying to be your own shepherd and it hasn't gone really well. Or maybe you've been trying to be the shepherd for other people and you need to find contentment in his leading and rest. Maybe you today, you just need some rest. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you've been carrying your woundedness as it's a part of your identity, that you're not sure what to do without it. And this morning, you just need to experience the healing that's offered to you by the Good Shepherd. Maybe you've been walking along the wrong path. Maybe you thought it was the right path and it looked right. And as you've gone further down the path, you're realizing this looks nothing like the way of Jesus. And so you need to get onto the right path. Maybe you're in a dark valley. Maybe you're in a season of darkness, of things that feel hard and heavy, and you need to confess your fear and lean into the shepherd. Learn his voice and trust him to lead you. Maybe you are just experiencing disappointment today. You can be honest. Disappointed with the way things have gone in my life. I'm disappointed about the situation that I'm dealing with, and I need to trust you. Maybe you've been withholding goodness and love from others, and you need to confess that this morning. Maybe you've been so worried about what that could look like or what that could mean that you've abandoned the way of Jesus. And so this morning you confess, I've been withholding love and goodness from this group of people or this person in my life, and I don't want to do that anymore. You've given me more than I could ever need, and I want that to be what flows out of me. I want when people come into contact with me, your goodness and your love to flow out of me, not my grumpiness, not my anger, not my frustration, your goodness and your love. A life without lack begins with a surrendered heart. And from there, we find rest, healing, and an overflowing love for others. Will you let the Good Shepherd lead you there today? So I'm going to pray and invite you to come forward. Spend some time in prayer. Don't feel rushed this morning. Take your time. And then I'll come back up and dismiss us. God, again, we're just grateful for the way that you lead us, the way that you guide us. I confess that there are times that I've withheld goodness and love out of, I don't know, my own fear of control or my own fear of what that could mean down the road. And I just confess that that's not the life that you've called me to. For others this morning, maybe there's hurt and there's spaces that you just need to do a healing work in. God, whatever it is this morning, we trust you. We trust you to be our shepherd, you to guide us, you to lead us. And when we respond to that and we get to know your voice, we know that you will be with us regardless of where the path takes us.